Good afternoon, Lindsay Webster. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. I'm hanging in there. How about yourself?
You know, just getting used to the new normal, like the rest of us. But I'm hanging in. I really doing my best. You know, you gotta keep a positive attitude. You know, you just gotta stay resilient. That's what I'm trying to do.
I absolutely agree, 100%. It was great seeing you just a few weeks ago when we had a little bit of a normal, when you were here in Charlotte to sing the national anthem at the Hornets game.
Yes.
It was that fun.
It was very, I was so nervous. once I started and did it, I felt so much better. And it was really, really so much fun. So I hope that I get to do that again sometime soon.
Awesome. Awesome. Meanwhile, in the midst of all of this and even before that, you released your fifth album titled A Woman Like Me. How about that? Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
That album is doing great. This week is number one on the Billboard charts this week.
Yes. I can't even believe it.
Really? Come on now.
I mean, I don't know. You never know. I don't know. It's like, yeah, okay. So we've had, like, you know, quite a bit of success and but, you know, you never know what might change. I don't know.
Right.
I never expect. I'm always hopeful that, you know, when you release a new album that it's going to do good and it's going to, you know, do its thing. But never really know. So, I was genuinely just thrilled and surprised and so happy about the success of the album so far. It's amazing.
Well, it should be because it is a great album, and it also debuted number one on iTunes Jazz.
That's right.
So I mean, it's doing its thing. And what a wonderful timing of it all, because music is a healer. So at this point, this time, how, you know, it's beautiful that it could come out at a time like this when people need the positivity and they need the uplift and the encouraging. So it's awesome. It all works.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, who knew that when this album would come out, you know, we'd be going through such a weird time.
Right.
And I'm just grateful, you know, a lot of people have written in and said to me, you know, your album is at the perfect time because, you know, I like to write about a lot of positive things. It's not like a heartbreak song.
Right.
You know, I try to write about being optimistic about the unknown things. Like there's a song called The Unknown. Perspective is one of the songs. Rain is one of those songs on the album. And it just so happens that all these songs are about, you know, more songs than normal about, you know, the attitude and the positivity than other songs have been before. So, I mean, albums have been before.
Right, and I was going to ask you what kind of feedback you were getting from fans. So I guess that's good if they're writing in and saying, I mean, what better to hear than what your intent was when you were creating, you know, it came through.
Yes, absolutely. So when I sit and I write each day, and I'm really like putting everything I have into it. And it finally goes out into the world after listening to it on my own for about 10,000 times. it's you know, I hear it so many times that it's almost like not even the same song anymore. You just get so used to it, maybe even take it for granted. So whenever a song does go out into the world like that, it's like people's responses are refreshing for me.
I can see that. Yeah, because they kind of bring it back to a different perspective that, and you're like, oh, yeah, you know, and that's always good to hear. You again work with your musical partner, Keith Slattery, as well as collaborated with other artists, one of them being my good buddy, Nathan East. What did you enjoy about this process versus your others, projects in the past?
Well, for this album, we worked with, like, I'd met Nathan before, but worked with musicians that we'd never met. Vinny Colaiuta, you know, he's played on so many of my favorite albums, like Sting, done Frank Zappa. Not that I'm, like, a huge, like, Frank Zappa listener, but I respect it. It's amazing. So, really, the biggest new thing was just working with people that I had never met, you know.
Wow.
When we did the other album, we did the other albums, we worked with our band, and we still did. Like, we had, like, D'Amico on guitar, Fred Doombay on bass. Like, our core band members are on the album, but we just, you know, for a majority of the songs, just wanted to do it just with flavor, you know, switch it up. We're loyal to our band. We love those guys. So we just were kind of going for a whole new thing. And it worked, and it happened, and a totally different vibe came to be, which is really what we wanted. We just wanted it to have that new energy, mm-hmm. which, you know, going into a brand new studio I've never been to, it totally brought a new energy for me. And it's just been, I'm so grateful for what's happened with the sound of the music, with the production. I wrote in the studio for the first time.
Right.
Normally everything is, like, very prepared, and I just kind of, like, well, and there was this one song that, this one that Keith had written that I hadn't done the words to yet, and I just wrote the words, and right there, and so we recorded it. It actually didn't make it on the album, but I think we're going to put it on Keith's album.
Awesome.
And it's called Me, Myself, and I. So like I said, it's just been a whole brand new thing.
A whole new process, right.
The whole experience has just been brand new, you know.
Awesome. Well, and those things are always good because they keep us fresh and keep us on our toes.
Yep.
Keep us on our toes. So how much has your hometown of Woodstock, where you grew up, influenced you as an artist? I know that has to have some major influence.
I think that Woodstock as a community is very supportive of artists and, you know, being yourself, expressing yourself whatever way you want. If I grew up in, I don't know, what other kind of town, like some town in the Midwest, that, like, maybe I wouldn't have felt so free as to, you know, express myself artistically, because you have to, in order to do that, you really need to have a support network around you, you know, whether it's your parents or teachers or mentors, which I had all of that.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky. My parents were like, oh, do whatever you want, you know, I love to draw, do all that kind of stuff, so, you know, they let me do it. Some parents, I think that some parents become afraid that their kids won't be successful, and so they say, you know, become a doctor, you know, that kind of
uh-huh,
stuff.
Uh-huh.
My parents are like, do your thing, you know, be who you are.
That's awesome. That's good. And myself being a parent, I understand parents' stance on, you know, you just have to know your child. You have to just know your child. And
yeah.
At some point, you got to throw your hands up. And let them be who they are, like you said. You've taken, I think I've shared this with a few people we know in common, but you've taken the contemporary jazz, in my opinion, by storm. And I say that because it's a much... It was so needed. It was so, it like needed a refreshing, a refresher. Like, it almost needed to be dipped in something and bought. You know how when they got ice cream and you got like soft serve ice cream at Dairy Queen and they dip it in that chocolate and it like hardens all of a sudden. You know, it changes the whole texture of the ice cream. And so it's like you change.
Ooh, well, I'm a chocolate coating.
All right. Oh, honey, they dip it in chocolate. They dip it in strawberry. But the difference is it hardens. The coating hardens immediately when it's dipped, when the ice cream's dipped, and then you get to bite it and crunch it. You know, that sounds yummy right now because it's so hot outside. But anyway, I haven't had that in many years. But that's what just came to mind. It's like a whole new flavor. A refreshing, renewing flavor to what already exists. And that, to me, is what you have done. You brought to this genre that I mean, we can go on and go on about the amazing talent, but when you throw in some dipped ice cream that comes out and throws you a whole new flavor. It's like, whoa, yeah.
Well, thank you.
And that, to me, I appreciate it because I've followed you throughout your career, so I've been appreciative and a fan from the beginning.
Yes, you have.
Yeah, and I'm just glad that people are now, okay, people, like, get on board. Like, about time you caught up.
Yeah.
Yeah, she definitely is number one.
It's funny because a lot of people are like, oh, and she was overnight, you know. But, like, before we had our first song on Billboard, grinding away. We already put out, well, it was, you know, we were working on our third album by the time, and it's funny. So we were working on our third album when the song from our second album made it onto the radio and went on Billboard. So it's an interesting, the song was released technically in 2015 with my album, You Change, and then in the end of 2016, the beginning of 2016 is when it came out, so it was already like almost a year old, the album.
Well, it's funny because I find myself, you know, I'm one that when people want to hear the truth, that's, I'm the one they come, because I'm going to just tell it, I'm just going to say it, and I'm just going to be brutally honest, and it is what it is. But, you know, I live in a house with musicians. My whole life is music. So I know, you know, I sing, I have an ear. So I know, and I sit here, and I don't like to critique, and I don't like to be rough, but I am rough. So when I just like you said, your song been out for a year, and it finally hits radio. Well,
yeah.
It amazes me because I'm sitting, you know, I can know who you are, and I can know the music very well, and then I can be in my car, and I'm like, okay, XM, like, okay, Watercolors, like, what took, like, what took, but that happens with a lot of people that in the, I can think of at least four people that I know I've known for a long time, and I'm like, what is the problem? Why aren't these people at Seabreeze? Why, and I'm just, like, and I'm just going crazy thinking, people, get with the program, you know, and it's frustrating. It's so frustrating for me. Knowing what's out there and knowing what's missing and knowing the amazing talent that people aren't getting a chance to experience, and it just makes me mad. So finally, like last year, you were Seabreeze last year, right?
Yeah, I've been at Seabreeze like every single year. It's been really awful.
Right. See, and I'm like, you know, oh, that's what I'm talking about. Exactly.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it makes my heart full. Yeah, it makes me happy when I see. I'm like, yes, finally, yay. You know, but it's okay. They may have done it a year later, but I bet you they caught on now. I bet you they caught on to your to the program now.
Yeah, you know, that's what I say, honestly. That's what I say, like, yes, I'm surprised the album debuted at number one. It's just like, you know, because there are certain festivals that we still haven't been called for, and there are certain opportunities that haven't opened up for us and for me. And so my natural part of me that's, you know, a little insecure and always wondering, you know, when, what is the next opportunity? Mm-hmm. Will the opportunity stop coming?
Mm-hmm.
I can't help thinking about that kind of stuff. Like the way my brain works,
right.
I'm like, okay, things are great now, but keep things and, you know, remember, and it's actually part of how I, you know, try to stay grateful for things too, just knowing that someday this will all be different.
Right.
It's not today. Today I'm in, you know, an apex in my career, and yes, I'm taking it all that comes, I'm taking every single gig. Well, just, you know, we'll see what happens in the next few months because all my shows have been canceled, but like, every opportunity that comes, I just grab onto it. And that's what I've done even when I was, you know, playing in restaurants and bars and from 2009 when I met Keith up until we started, you know, being more on a national scene. We took every single restaurant gig, every bar gig, we paid to play.
Really?
Absolutely. We spent thousands and thousands of dollars playing at a place where they said, okay, well, we can only, you know, we can't even give you any money. So
wow.
We would pay our band to go be in a setting where we could get some more followers. And that is really mostly how we built our following.
Wow.
You know, I was playing in a little corner in a bar, and that night two people became a fan, you know? And it slowly built up, slowly but surely. A lot of great opportunities that have come from, you know, playing in these country clubs and these little things, and then and you meet one person, it leads to another opportunity. I was able to meet Sting because of a guy who heard me sing in a restaurant in the middle of nowhere, in a Mexican restaurant. We were just, you know, Friday night music, people, mm-hmm. you know, playing Al Green and Chaka Khan and doing all that. And a guy, he owns a restaurant in New York City called The Lambs Club, and he said, you know, would you like to come play in my restaurant in New York City? And we said, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Like I said, everything. So that the second night that we played, we were playing every Wednesday for a while there, we showed up to set up and play, and the manager, who was there, became a friend of mine, and he was like, Harry, you have to sit up quick. Sting's over there. You have to start singing for him. I was like, oh my God, okay. So I'm like, you gotta hurry. Sting's over there. We gotta start playing.
Hilarious.
Like, okay.
Hilarious.
So we started playing. I started singing the first song, right? And we started with Cry Me a River. And I, at that point, I hadn't had like a whole bunch of stage confidence, so I would like sing with my eyes closed. And so I knew that he was the guy sitting in a hoodie with his back to us, like, because he pointed him out to me. And so I'm just like singing, and I look over, and he's turned all the way around and watching us play. I was like, oh my God, he's looking. And so, because I love this thing. Like I said, Vinny Caluta, he played on my favorite mm-hmm. Sting albums. Mm-hmm. Like, so then I'm like, oh my God, he's looking. So then, like, we end that song, we start another song, and there I am with my eyes closed again, and I open my eyes, and he's standing right in front of me.
Yep.
And I'm singing, and I'm like, oh my God! And he just like mouths. He goes like, wow! And I was like, oh crap! And he like reached out and he grabbed my hand and he shook my hand and he was just like, he's like amazing. He was the best. He walked out of the restaurant, but I was singing, so I couldn't. I was in the middle of the song.
Right.
I couldn't even talk to him.
It's okay.
Like, you know what I mean? Like every little opportunity, like that's a huge story in my mind. I hope one day I get to meet Sting, you know, and just be like, hey, remember when you were in New York City and you were, you know, at the Lambs Club? I've been me singing.
And I bet you he will remember you. It's funny, I'm just as crazy a maniac Sting fan from Police on. And so we were in London this past December for the Global Citizens Award. And of course, Sting was one of the honorees. And my husband got to play with him. And of course, everybody, you know, and we were there a week. We literally rehearsed this thing for a whole week. And it was funny because I thought, okay, now did you say Sting? Because I don't want to hear nobody else's name as long as you say that name. I don't care. Like, I've been around, like, my husband plays for Chaka Khan. Like, he's her guitarist. And so I'm around every... I mean, I see it, I'm around it, I'm in it all the time. But when you talk, when I heard Sting, I said, okay, everything stops. Like, in my head, pause. I don't, like, what did you say? Did you say Sting? I'm like, you, what? What did you say? And so when he came in the studio to rehearse, we like 5 days. You're talking about Jennifer Hudson, John Legend, all these people. But it didn't matter. Yeah. Because when Sting walked, I mean, every musician in the room, I don't care, like, it just didn't even matter. When he came in, and just his swagger, he's just cool. So when he came in, he was just as cool. He didn't stay but a few minutes. Now, everybody else, we're rehearsing 10-hour days. He stayed there 15 minutes, maybe 20. 20 minutes really quick, in and out. Hey, how you doing? Wow. He spoke. He was so cool. He was just so cool, and he was like, and it was funny because when he left, I talked to him. He was talking to my husband. I talked to him, and then he autographed the CD, because once I knew he was going to be there, I said, okay, I'm digging out the old stuff. So I went back and got an old CD, and when I pulled it out, he was like, okay, let me see if I remember this one. It was so funny, and he signed it, and so when he left, we're in a big studio space, like humongous, and when he left, he was walking out, and everybody's like, okay. So everybody's kind of like, wow, okay, he's done now. Okay, he's leaving the building. Well, and he hollers out across the floor, bye-bye, Monica. You know, bye-bye, in that British accent. I said, oh, my God. I said, I'm like you. I said, oh, my God. Like, none of y'all got a goodbye. Thank you very much. I got the goodbye. Thank you very much, people. And so it's one of those memories that I think everybody, I know from my husband who was staying just like you, when he heard you, he approached you, he turned around, and he heard something, and he was like, whoa, wow. And so he did the same thing for my husband when he was playing, just when they were just fiddling, like they hadn't even started rehearsing yet. He turned around to him and said, gave him a huge compliment, and my husband was like, no, you know, and he said, no, I know what I hear. I know what I hear.
Aww.
Right. So see, the same thing for you. He knew what he heard. And of course he would never forget that. He would see you 10 years from now and say, oh, I remember. Yeah. So I get that same thing.
Wait. I hope I get to see him one day.
I get that same thing. It's nothing like it. Okay. We don't got Sting. Okay. That was fun. Okay. That's a mutual shit. Sting fans. When it comes to a woman like me, to me, I love it. I've listened to it quite a few times, and it's full of, what I said to myself was, this is full of pretty much all emotions. She pretty much expressed across the board emotions in her way, positively, yet you spoke of real things. You know, you spoke of real things that we as women definitely can relate to. Yet you did it in a nice, you know, in a different kind of way, as you said, positively. Yet I know that it came from different experiences that may not have been all positive. And they say, you know, that old saying is, you know, you got to go through some things. You got to go through some things. And sometimes it's some pain in order to create and write things that have such a major impact and who penetrate the listeners in such a way that they are so moved every time they hear it. That's what you did. Do you think that's true? Would you second that notion? You got to go through some things. Exactly.
Sorry, I'm quality right book.
It's okay.
I mean, I'm proud of this album, absolutely. I put my best effort into each one, so when I just made it, definitely am proud. Definitely this and definitely that. Everything's definite. No, I'm sorry. I've worked so many times, but actually genuinely mean it.
Right.
So, you know, writing these songs, it wasn't really a whole lot different than past songs. Like you said, just the different things that life has that you experience make different songs and different emotions.
Yep.
When I write a song, I really want to really say exactly what I'm trying to say, if you know what I mean. Like, I don't just, like, put words in just to fit.
Right.
Like, in my case, this will fit, but it really has to make the sentence completely. There's no filler words for me. I can't do it.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I won't finish the song until it's, like, put exactly what I'm trying to say. So, when Keith writes music, so, you know, for those who are listening, Keith Slattery is my partner. He writes music, and he's an extremely gifted composer. So sometimes I listen to the music, and I'm like, that strikes me a certain way. Then I go and I write the words and the melody.
Mm-hmm.
I like the melody to be, I like a melody that flows. You know, a lot of pop music is like da 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 da, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Repetitive things, but I like my melody. Right. Do the brain, like, do, like, have shape and words.
Yes.
So,
yes.
I like the melody to be interesting and, you know, and nothing too boring, nothing too monotonous. And then when I sing it, that's the trickiest thing for me because, you know, sometimes they, like, are not quite in the mood to sing a particular song. So, like, you can open up a session. You record a song maybe running around from the album, which is like upbeat and up-tempo and snarky and sarcastic. But if you're not in the mood to be snarky and sarcastic, then I'll be like, oh, let's just do, let's do some vocals for this on perspective. Like, maybe you're more in that mood. So recording is tricky because you really need to figure out, like, what song you're going to give your best performance on today.
Right.
You know, it's not the same with every friend. So it's like every step and so, you know, microscopically into like the details of each step that I would hope and pray that the time and energy that I put into each song is being conveyed, and I think that it is, because people, our listeners and our fans, maybe on Facebook and send emails, they tell me things that they feel from each song, and I'm like, yes, that's what I'm trying to do there. Or they say something and I'm like, wow, I didn't even think about it like that. So, yeah, I think we've been successful at really making an album that is professional, interesting, and different.
Well, absolutely. It is different, because even for myself listening to it, having heard your other music, I thought, okay, well, this is different, but I like it, because I could tell it was a totally different, you were coming from a different, whether it was the process, the collaborative, whatever it was, but your new approach to the project, it was evident, and I appreciated that, because it was like, oh, okay, I see you, Lindsay. I see what you're doing. And so I said to myself, I see what you're doing over there. I did, and the title track, A Woman Like Me, featuring Nathan, to me, I really tried to say, okay, which one is my favorite. I try not to do that, but then I always have one that will just attach to me like an octopus, and it's like, okay, yeah. But really, there was more than one. I couldn't really say, but if I had to pick one, I know I would say A Woman Like Me probably spoke, or I personally related to the most, because it's almost like an anthem, if you will. It's almost, you know, it's to me a woman of strength, and I'm all about that. So, And a woman planting her feet and saying, this is who I am. This is what it is. Mm-hmm. And to me, that statement is enough. And any woman who takes that stance, to me, is like, yeah, a hero. So it's very relatable. And it's the most, and I think women, I don't know what you're, you know, I'm sure you're hearing a lot of women say either they want to feel like that, or they do feel like that, or you're inspiring them to get to that place. Where they can feel that way. How did you decide out of all those songs? Because I love like Feels Like Forever, which was the first single, and I saw how it could take the airways by storm like it did. I said, yes, this is the perfect song to release. You know what I mean? I did. And then when you followed up with Only You, the second single, I thought, oh yeah, perfect. Now mind you, and I love Only You. It's like, ugh. Oh God, yes. So, you, how did you decide A Woman Like Me was going to be the title?
Well, it's funny, because One Step Forward was actually going to be the title, and then like towards the very end of the writing process, we wrote A Woman Like Me, and it was just like a strong song. It's a strong statement.
Yes.
And. I don't know, it just kind of just ended up changing.
Okay.
After the song was written, everyone was like, well, that's easy to title the album. So we sent it to my manager and her label, and we're like, I think you should. And I was already in the scripting this thing at launches, and I was literally like, okay, people, should it be called One Step Forward? And people would be like, yay! And then we'd go, A Woman Like Me, and they'd go, ah! So I actually did like some audience, questioning.
Right.
And, you know, I kind of already knew that that should be the title, and it was appropriate because all the songs are incorporated, right? And so, it really just kind of something else. I didn't really say, and I was actually thinking between One Step Forward being the title or Perspective.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Perspective is basically the middle of the album.
Well, after, I mean, I don't, I can imagine that process is probably very strenuous or just, you know, stressful at times trying to pick that one song. But they all are worthy and they're all phenomenal. But I have the question I want to know is, after writing this project in particular, who is Lindsay Webster and how has it impacted you?
Well, I think I'm like still trying to figure out who I am always.
Always.
You know, like everyone, yeah. Like yeah. You're probably, you know, you find out something new about yourself every day.
Yes.
Right? So, you know, I am just another person, really. Just trying to figure out my place in the world and my dynamic with people and figuring out, you know, how to be there, you know, because I'm like, I'm impatient, I just, you know, I don't jump to conclusions, I have a tendency to overthink things, and I'm just constantly trying to figure out how to better myself internally, psychologically, physically. I don't know, I'm a person who just wants to be better than you. And it might be a little bit of like an OCD thing, but it really made me who I am today, because, you know, without the drive to become, you know, better person, maybe I wouldn't have gotten as far as I have, you know?
Right.
So, I'm very, very learning how important my inner peace is. And I used to give away a lot of my control to other people. You know, I'm trying to be for my music or trying to, like, I know that a lot of people think that, like, smoothing and all that stuff is the way to go, but to me, it's something that can get a little bit. I mean, there's a certain degree of it where, you know, you go to a party, something like that. But, like, I've never really been a person going out and trying to get things the way it happens. I really believe that if you have your intentions set and you're true to yourself and you work hard, then people will gravitate to you.
Right, I agree.
And I think that, I've had certain pressures, being like, you should do this, you should do that, and I'm becoming more comfortable saying, oh, it didn't work for me not to do that, you know, I'll be uncomfortable. Or, you know, it's just really taking control of my ability to be confident in the decision that I make and not worry about
it. Right, right.
It's hard. You know, it's hard when people ask you to do one thing and you feel something else that you're trying to appease other people.
Well, let me. I think the success you've seen so far with this project has solidified any decision you made, and all the matter-of-factness and, you know, being comfortable in whatever, in the decisions you made, going, you know, proceeding with this project, it is the success of it has spoken for itself. So I just wish you continued success, and I have no doubt about it. And I'll be glad when we all can get back into the world and get back on, you know, get back out there and do what we love to do and, you know, let music be the healer and the fun and the excitement that it is. I think we all are gonna need a lot of that. I hope, I don't know what's going on, but I know you were supposed to come back here on June 20th for the Queen City Jazz Fest. I don't know what's going on, and I'm just going to wait. And I know I'll see you again somewhere. I'm not worried about it. It would be, I know you're scheduled to come back then. Meanwhile, I know fans can follow you on all social media, right? You have Instagram, you have Facebook. Do you have a website?
Yes, I do. It's Lindsay Webster Music.
Okay. So, and on Instagram, is it the same?
Lindsay Webster Official.
Okay. Okay. Well, that's good. So now fans can keep up. You know, they can follow and see when, of course, when the normal gets, when our new normal is not our new normal anymore, and we're back to the old normal. Whenever that is.
Yeah, no, honestly, I'm like loving this new normal. I'm like, damn, that's so for puppies.
I know. It's time to get, it's like, we're gonna all be like kids in a candy store. Every one of us is gonna be so happy just to get slowly, even if it's slowly but surely, get back to the old ways. So meanwhile, we have a whole year left, honey, and it's not, I mean, this ain't even half point of the year. So this, we have a lot to look forward to. That's what I say. I say all this does is give us a lot to look forward to. That's how I'm looking at it.
You know, that's how I'm looking at it too.
Yeah, I'm gonna look at it like that and say, well, we're just gonna have a lot of music and a lot of, we're just gonna be very busy trying to get in all we missed.
and
going to all these shows. So I appreciate it, and I hope you continue to enjoy the success of A Woman Like Me. And stay safe and healthy.
Absolutely. You too.
I will. And it's been a pleasure. And until the next time, Lindsay, stay cool.
All right. You too.
Okay. You have a good one, okay?
Thank you so much for having me.
I thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.